Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Collegiately speaking.
And we're underway. Needs a block on the kicker. He gets it. And will he go the distance? Yes, he will.
As the Hokies deliver the dagger here in Tallahassee.
Intercepted by the Wildcat. The Wildcat win. Unbelievable.
Here's Collegiately Speaking, your one-stop shop for college football news. Collegiately Speaking. With Dave Eddy.
Wow!
And former Northwestern quarterback Dan Person.
How much you want to make a bet I can throw a football over the mountain?
Collegiately Speaking.
Welcome to another edition of Collegiately Speaking, our weekly look at Northwestern football, another college football. We come to you every week. This is our second edition of the very young season. Dave Ennett joined by former Wildcat quarterback Dan Persa. And this week we look back on a rather rough opening game for the Wildcats against Michigan State on Friday night. We have a special surprise guest joining us in just a moment. But first, Dan, I saw you out at Ryan Field Friday night. Are you okay? Do you need me to do a well-being check on you or anything?
It was definitely a sad Saturday and a sad Labor Day weekend for me. But, you know, knowing that what we know about the Cats and Coach Fitz bouncing back from, you know, subpar week ones and frankly some subpar Septembers, I'm confident that they'll bounce back. But, yeah, I was certainly down in the dumps Saturday morning and probably the rest of the weekend.
You know, I've heard every college football coach in America at one point or another say, you make your biggest improvement from your first game to your second game. As a former player, did you buy into that?
I think so. I think there's just so many unknowns going into the first week. And when you look at your own team and then around the league and around the country, frankly, you see teams that make big leaps in from week one to week two, and they're completely different teams. And I think another thing that you hear people talk about is, you know, more teams lose the first game than win the first game. And I think we saw that in some of the other Big Ten games. Unfortunately, yeah, we didn't see that in the Northwestern game. Frankly, Michigan State played pretty well and took care of the football. So I certainly agree with your statement. And I think, you know, knowing what we know about the Cats, they'll find a way to shore some things up, especially on defense, and get rolling again.
Well, let's bring in our guest, Dan. He's a former teammate of yours. He is the all-time leading scorer in Northwestern Wildcat history, second all-time in field goals, first all-time in point after touchdowns, first all-time in field goal percentage. Jeff Budzien, what am I leaving out?
Well, Dave, you're soon going to have to say you might have to say second in career points. I think Charlie Kubaner's sneaking up, and it'd be so fun to watch him beat that record this year. So I'm hoping he scores a lot of points as the Cats do and takes that crown from me. I'd gladly give it to him.
I also left out sideline reporter because you're going to be on the sidelines for us this week on WGN for the game against Indiana State. But let me ask you, as a longtime observer and former participant in this program, what was your biggest takeaway from Friday?
You know, to Dan's point, I think more teams lose in week one than win. You know, across the board, actually watching Wisconsin and Penn State and other teams, there was just a lot of sloppy football. At least I credit Coach Fitz and the Wildcats. I thought they played pretty crisp. They had some defensive errors, I thought. And obviously the kicking game will get improved with Charlie. But I think, you know, Indiana State's coming in at the right time. It'll help us get our wheels loose. But at the same time, I was honorary captain when the Cats lost to Illinois State a couple years ago, and certainly a day that I haven't forgotten. So I can't take that for granted. But if all things go well, this should be a great, you know, opportunity for us to get back in the win column.
We always hear those are teachable moments, right? So even though this is a different group that's out there this Saturday, you would hope that some of those things that have happened in the past would still be a lesson learned somewhere along the line. Let's go back to the start of the game, Dan, and a 75-yard touchdown for Kenneth Walker, who I think everybody knew was a pretty good player, transfer from Wake Forest and moving over to Michigan State this year, and the Spartans really loaded up on transfers, as a lot of teams did around the country. And he scores from 75 yards out on the first snap of the game. And that kind of sets the tone, right? I mean, that's a tough thing to come back from, even though you have really 59 minutes to come back from it.
Yeah, and I think it just kind of took the wind out of the team, not only the defense. And, you know, before you even kind of woke up, you know, Northwestern was down 14-0. And it just, I was, like you said, I was in the stadium for the game, and I, for whatever reason, the Northwestern fans really never got into the game. You know, there wasn't a ton of energy because the Northwestern was down pretty quick. And it felt like kind of a blow to the gut to a defense from last year, while there's, you know, many different players playing now, that would just, you know, never really happen. They didn't give up big plays. They didn't really give up points. And to see that kind of happen at the first play of the game was a rude awakening for sure.
You know, it certainly was, but I still kind of get back to this, which is you're down 7-0. That happens. Teams run kickoffs back for touchdowns. I remember that happened to the Cats in Michigan a couple of years ago. You can still come back from that, but the problem was the first two possessions, they get down to the Michigan State 22-yard line. First time they miss a field goal. Next time they turn it over on downs. You come away with nothing on those two possessions, where you had explosion plays on each of them, 40-plus yard plays, and didn't get anything. And as I look back on it, if you at least come away with some points on one of those possessions, then it changes the complexion. Now, maybe they still get up 21-3 or whatever. But I think it does change the complexion of the game, doesn't it? What do you think, Jeff?
Yeah, I mean, having a goose egg on the scoreboard is really tough more optically than, you know, in substance. We missed an early field goal. But, you know, Dan, to Dan's point, when you're leading an offense and maybe a stall, but the kicker can at least put some points on the board, that's a semi-win, and it's a little punch back from really getting a knockout blow early. So, you know, tough to start the game down 14-0 before people really took their seats. And it just seems like you're playing catch up after that. And sometimes Northwestern's really good at that, and sometimes we're not. And it seemed Friday night that we weren't.
Dan, one thing that you and I talked about here last week was getting explosion plays into this offense. And we saw three of them on Friday night. But first of all, the play of Hunter Johnson. I think you guys would probably agree that as far as a bright spot in the game, if you had said going in that he was going to throw for 280 yards and three touchdowns and no turnovers, that you would have taken that, right? So what did you see from Hunter, Dan?
You know, I thought he looked okay. I think it's hard, right? Because you look at the stats and it looked like a, you know, really, really solid game. Being there in person, it just didn't look as sharp. But at the end of the day, when I rewatched the game and looked at the stat line, he played pretty well. But unfortunately, a lot of those, you know, big throws, well, not early, but a lot of those completions were later in the game when Northwestern was down. There were times where I felt like he looked a little bit uncomfortable. There could have been something going on with, like, the center quarterback exchange, and I think the offensive line could have done a little bit better job protecting him. But all in all, I agree. If you look at that stat line and say, look, he doesn't turn the ball over and complete that percentage of passes, Northwestern's probably going to win. But to your earlier point, you know, I think while Fitz is very aggressive, and Jeff knows this from earlier in his career, for going for it on fourth down and not kicking a field goal, that sometimes can lead to problems from a momentum standpoint when, like you said, Dave, instead of 14-3 or 14-6, you know, it's still a goose egg on the board, and you can't get the fans in the game, and the players are really, you know, fighting and clawing to just feel like they're getting somewhere, and to leave on those first two possessions with nothing is tough to come back from.
Well, it is, and I think it's something that, you know, they dug themselves such a hole that gets to the whole confidence thing too, especially, Jeff, is that more of a factor when you have so many young guys out there?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, if I had to put myself in Coach Fitz's shoes, I'd prefer not to have, you know, a Friday night ESPN televised game, kind of unorthodox non-weekend game for the young team. You know, I read we were had to replace more talent or more output than any other, you know, college football team. So coming in when it's not like an ordinary 11 a.m. Saturday kickoff is a little unique. It's just one more variant that they need to deal with. But, you know, certainly when you're a new guy, and again, when I was a sophomore kicker, my first time on the field, started 1 for 3 on field goals. You know, it takes a little while to come back from that. A lot of positive self-talk and, you know, good teammates like Dan. So, again, that's what I'm saying. This week's got to be such an important big win to get some of these young guys feeling like they belong, because it's easy to kind of cave in after a whooping like we had on Friday.
Let's talk about some of the new guys. Dan, who stood out to you on Friday?
Yeah, I think we talked about them. Hunter obviously played very solid and looked like a completely different player than 2 years ago, which, you know, we heard about. You know, some people expected, some didn't. So he was, like you said, a bright spot. I thought the receivers, Robinson and Bryce Kurtz, played really well, made some big plays, especially Robinson. I think he was a nice bright spot, just getting more explosion plays. Those were really, really and obviously I'm an offensive guy, so those are the folks that stuck out to me that seemed like new players.
Yeah, I thought you hit the nail on the head with those guys. I mean, I think they all did some good things in the game. The other guy's not new, but Trey Pugh, right? I mean, kind of been waiting for him to be healthy throughout the course of his time at Northwestern, and he makes a big play on a 4th-and-goal situation when they're just trying to get something on the board, and then catches another ball in a crowd, which I thought Hunter made a really nice throw on into a tight window there. Kind of nice to see the production, Jeff, that they got from tight end last week.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be a bigger, you know, play even this week. Like you said, Pugh, he made a really critical play, like you mentioned, on that 4th down. It's fun to see him. Some of the new names that came in, you know, like Dan mentioned, Robinson, I thought played really well. And, you know, Hunter statistically and on the, you know, mobility side, he was moving around quite a bit. Unfortunately, that was more out of necessity. I think the old line will have a big improvement this week. And I think that's needed. That, you know, to Dan mentioned, some of the quarterback center exchanges seemed a little awkward, and you know, Hunter sometimes had to be pushed out of the pocket earlier than I thought he wanted to be. So it will be a good, you know, again, a good reset this week. Hopefully an opponent that we can get up early on and, you know, play more you know, cruise control than anything.
The other member of our crew, Super Joe, was there on Friday night at Ryan Field in our booth, and Joe, jump in here.
Not quite as deflated as we were Saturday night. Hey Dan, I wanted to check in with you and ask, after a 3-score loss to a conference rival, what's it like during the practice week? Is Coach Fitz more intense? Does he lighten up a little bit? What's it like?
Yeah, I think he's intense early in the week, and you know, whether that's when they watch the film Sunday and Monday, you know, he'll come down on the guys pretty tough and let them know what they did wrong and let them know that it's not acceptable. But I think pretty quickly when they get back to practice and on the field Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, assuming the team responds the right way with effort and film study, he kind of gets them back on the horse. And it's really just the evolution of losing a game, right? You need to let people know that you lost the game for a reason, and their effort and their talents weren't acceptable. But he's not going to be an old school guy and just hammer on these guys all week. He's going to build them back up and get them ready to play again.
Yeah, and I certainly don't want to share any secrets here of the way that Coach Fitz handles his business, but how quickly is it on to the next opponent?
It's pretty quick. You know, I think when Jeff and I were there, we had Sundays off, even though a lot of guys came in to watch film and got rehab. But Monday morning, you watch the film as a team and as position groups, and that's where you really kind of catch the ire of the coaches. But as soon as that meeting's over, it's kind of on to the next, right? You make those adjustments, and Monday you're getting loose again and doing a little bit of a workout. And in that workout, he's back on positivity and moving on, because it's just, outside of, you know, the correctable mistakes, it doesn't make sense to dwell on stuff like that.
It's a really interesting stat that's been floating around this week. And if you go over the last 5 years with Northwestern in games in August and September, over the last, and keep in mind, they didn't play any games in August or September last year in 2020, but their record is, I believe it's 5 wins over that span. And for the other months, October through December, and I guess January as well, they're 31-13. So 5-12 versus 31-13. And so they have been in this position before. But, Jeff, the question becomes how you dig yourself out, because and they're not anywhere near in that kind of shape. They were 1-3 in 2018, and they went on to win the Big Ten West. Not easy to do that all the time, but to bounce back, what's the key ingredient in bouncing back when you have a really disappointing outing like that?
You know, Dave, that's a good point. I was looking at some of those stats, too, from 16, 17, 18. You know, obviously years that we started really poorly or slowly, came out and won 3, you know, straight bowl games. 19 was an anomaly. You know, when I was playing in 2013, it was the opposite. We started 4-0, I think got up to ranked 10th, played Ohio State, and then lost 7 straight. But I'd say usually the Cats are pretty resilient, and I think it's in recruiting and it's in the families that Coach Fitz likes in recruits. I mean, a lot of these guys are you know, academically strong. They are resilient in the classroom. They've gone through stuff, and I think a lot of it's just the culture that Coach Fitz brings in on the recruiting trail. And there's a pretty good perspective, like Dan mentioned, when the Cats lose a game, you know, Coach Fitz will be upset more than anybody for, you know, a couple hours. But on Monday mornings, you know, we'd have a team meeting. We'd have the 24-hour flush rule where anything that happened, good or bad, had to be in the past, and we'd start new. And I think from a coaching standpoint, they do a great job of moving on and having the next, you know, next game up mentality. But I just think from a recruiting standpoint, he recruits people with strong families, have you know, gone through adversity, but have persevered. And I think that's what he does such a good job of. And I expect that to continue. You know, this is a team I would never want to play Northwestern in November. That's when everything's clicking, and good or bad, the Cats will come out hot, where I think other teams, if they're not in a bowl contention or things like that, they fold. You'll never get that out of this team. And I think that's why so many people hate playing them later in the year.
Hey, Jeff, I'm going to let you go, but I want to ask you real quickly, if you have one story you can share about Dan Persa on the football field, what something that you can tell our listeners on the podcast that they would enjoy hearing?
Actually, I got a good
easy
one.
Jeff. Easy, Jeff.
You'll love it. You know, so my freshman year, I'm a true freshman coming in, and we had 4 quarterbacks on the roster. I was a kicker, and in our Camp Kenosha dorm room, got placed in their, you know, their group. And that was with Mike Kafka and Dan, and then, you know, my good friend Evan Watkins and Joe Murrow. And just, you know, honestly, I was a freshman. You know, Dan really had no probably interest or, you know, getting to know me, and he took me under his wing and was a great, great teammate. And this is the story that I'll remember about Dan. It was actually during basketball season. We had winter workouts really early, so we're in the 5 a.m. group. I was with Dan. So we were probably grinding from 5 to 7:30 in the morning. And later that night, Northwestern was playing Purdue in football, or in basketball, I'm sorry, Welsh Shrine, you know, sellout. I think Purdue was ranked number 4, and all the football guys, we were walking into the, you know, into the game to cheer on the basketball squad, and we walked past the weight room, and there's one light on in the weight room, and it's Dan Persa with Coach Hooten working out. And it hit me at that moment. Dan was great, but he paid the price to be great. And, you know, Dan, you probably had no idea people were walking by or whatever, but I realized you were in there grinding your second workout of the day. And I thought to myself, that's why Dan Persa is Dan Persa. He was doing stuff that people weren't, and just a pretty cool lesson to learn from the best.
Appreciate it, man.
That's how I get to be Persa strong, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Hey, Jeff, thanks. We're going to look forward to seeing you on Saturday. And, of course, you get the honor of tracking down Coach Fitz coming off the field at halftime. And, you know, he likes to have a little fun with the sideline reporters on that, the walk-off interview at the end of the half. So I know you'll be ready. You've done it before. I know you'll be ready for anything he might throw at you.
Yeah, my first game ever doing sideline radio was at Iowa. We were down 35-0 at half. So getting fits off that half, anything's better than that.
Yeah, I think you're pretty safe. Or is it more safe to say that can't possibly happen again? But Jeff, we'll look forward to seeing you Saturday. Thanks for the time today.
Thanks, guys. Go Cats.
There you go. Your former teammate, Dan, Jeff Budzien. And so Saturday, Indiana State, an FCS Missouri Valley Football Conference opponent that started off their season with a win over Eastern Illinois. And they didn't even play last season at all. The conference had a spring season, but they opted out. So they hadn't played football since 2019 until their first game, and then they had a bye last week. They played in week zero, I guess is what they call it now. So this will be interesting, but it should be a game where the Wildcats can bounce back.
You would hope so, but as Jeff kind of alluded to, Northwestern unfortunately has experienced losing to FCS opponents in Illinois State and way back when in New Hampshire, as you'll remember.
Oh, yeah.
I really hope that they take this seriously, and I think they will, and you know, really find ways to improve, because there's no shortage of that, especially on defense. So I think coming into this game, I really want to see the defense play a little bit more fundamentally and stay in their gaps and not play so much hero ball. I feel like some guys were a little bit overextended and led to a lot of those big plays. But, you know, hopefully the offense can get off to a stronger start and finish in the red zone when they get down there. And like Jeff said, it just kind of get a reset and moving back into the rest of the season.
What else stood out to you in this first big weekend of college football? Any other games you had a chance to watch or any teams that really surprised or impressed you?
Yeah, I think kind of looking at the two headline games from the weekend, which, you know, I watched the majority of both, Penn State, Wisconsin. Was really, really impressed with Penn State's defense. I think they're going to be really tough. And you know, Sean Clifford and the offense played well as well. And Jahan Dotson, who's a kid from the area I grew up in as well, looked pretty good. But to our earlier points, Wisconsin just squandered away a lot of opportunities in the red zone and turned the ball over and you know, lost a big game at home. So that was certainly a game to watch. I think Wisconsin will bounce back, but frankly, Mertz, I think, needs to play a little bit better. And you know, after that first Illinois game, he's been fairly shaky. And then Iowa, Indiana, I think another game that a lot of people were hoping would be more like the Penn State Wisconsin game. But, you know, for a bunch of different reasons, that game got out of hand pretty quickly with the pick sixes and turnovers. And you know, I think Iowa just is, again, they're going to be really tough. They stayed, I think what's their streak now of however many games holding opponents under 22, which is pretty astounding. And I thought their quarterback played really well. He looked very sharp and didn't make a lot of mistakes. He certainly made a handful against us last year. So I think if the quarterback plays well and that defense keeps it up, they're going to be tough down the stretch as well.
Yeah, I mean, that was really impressive. To shut down Indiana the way they did, and you know, they start out with that win. If you go back to last year, you know, they after that loss to the Wildcats, they won their last six games, right? And then their bowl game got canceled, but they were really impressive after starting 0-2 a year ago, and they haven't lost since. So that's a game. That's still down the road a ways for the Wildcats. But the one thing you do kind of look at after the first week, you look at Wisconsin with a conference loss. You look at the Wildcats with a conference loss. You look at Minnesota with a conference loss. Nebraska suffered a loss in the first week to Illinois. So now Illinois hasn't lost a Big Ten game yet, and obviously Purdue had a very impressive win to start out. But still, as far as the Big Ten West goes, there's a lot to be decided, and all of these teams are going to have an opportunity to have a say in what happens to them, including Northwestern.
Definitely. And I think, I don't know, I didn't watch all of Fitz's press conferences this week, but I think the thing that, you know, he always says is, especially with these early losses, that all their goals are still in front of them, right? They still,
you know, for the most part, control their own destiny in the West. And I think that's going to be hammered home. It's certainly going to be no cakewalk, but it's still doable. It's not like their season's over. So I think that's a great thing about college football. And,
yep.
And you know, we'll see how they respond.
Joe, what stood out to you about the past weekend in college football?
Well, we love Labor Day. We love how the NFL isn't quite playing yet, so you get a couple of island games on Sunday night and Monday night.
Mm-hmm.
I was really interested to see Mackenzie Milton come back from injury.
Wasn't that a great story?
Yeah, just a great story, and he looked really good. You know, yeah. Down a couple scores, Florida State comes back, forces overtime. It's a tough loss, but he's still impressive to see. And on Monday night with the Louisville-Ole Miss game, all the targeting, and you wonder, you know, you're saying the same stuff every time. You know, by the letter of the law, that's an ejection. I wonder when they're going to start to revisit some of these letters of the law.
That's a great point, because it's something that I think players don't know exactly how to play the game right now. And, I mean, certainly you got to take head hits out. I don't think there's any question about that. But you have to have some consistency in the way the game is called. And it'll be interesting to see if this was the start of a trend, or was that just kind of the outlier as far as that game went. The other thing that stood out to me, you mentioned Milton, but that game, Notre Dame, Florida State, Dan, you and I saw a lot of Jack Cohn when he was playing at Wisconsin, but he certainly looks like he made himself right at home at Notre Dame. And that was, I don't know, is that a different guy out there?
It should look like it, but also it's a different offense, right?
Right.
I think he's being asked to do a lot more at Notre Dame. So I think, you know, I talked to a bunch of my friends that went to Wisconsin, and they were kind of hemming and hawing about losing him and a little bit frustrated with Mertz. So he certainly looked more comfortable. I think he was, you know, over 300 yards or close to it and four touchdowns. So, you know, I think he's taken the responsibility of a little bit larger workload at Notre Dame and run with it.
Last week, I thought it was one of the best, and a lot of people said this, it might have been the best opening week ever in college football. There aren't as many great games this week, but there are some really interesting ones. You've got Ohio State playing host to 11 Oregon. You've got Iowa at Iowa State. They play every year, but this year it takes on a little extra meaning because the Hawkeyes are up to a number 10 in the country, and I think they're ranked right next to each other in the top 25 this week. You've got Illinois, which beat Nebraska in their opener, then lost at home to UTSA, going on the road to play Virginia, and they're a double-digit underdog there. And should say something about Northern Illinois. How about their win at Georgia Tech on Saturday night? They go for two, make the two-point conversion with, I think, 38 seconds to go and pull out the one-point win over the Yellow Jackets. They come home now to play Wyoming. But it is time for Super Joe's Pick of the Week.
Prediction, to say or estimate a specified thing will happen in the future.
Super Joe's Predictions.
All right, so before we get to the pick of the week, did you guys hear about this 14-team parlay that this guy laid down? A $10 bet that got he put in all unders, and it turned around for $80,000.
That wasn't you.
There you go.
I'm not saying it wasn't me.
Okay.
Actually, I am. It was not me. But I'm going to follow that trend. I'm going to take the under in the Michigan-Washington game. Michigan hosts Washington on ABC Saturday night at 7. The total opened at 51 and has crawled down to 50, and you see some 48s out there. So I would jump on this quick before it goes away. Michigan lost its top wide receiver, Ronnie Bell, who's probably their top playmaker on offense. Washington struggles in their first game against Fresno State. I think this is more of a defensive battle. I think they struggle to get to 50, so I will take the under in that game.
Didn't Washington lose to Montana last week?
Oh, the Grizz, yeah. Fresno State. I was thinking of Oregon.
Yeah.
You're right. You're right. Montana.
Yeah. I mean, you look at this, going into the big house, under the lights. Should be a good matchup there in that one. And we will be in Evanston Saturday afternoon, an early game, actually Saturday morning, 11 o'clock kick, a central time for the Wildcats and the Sycamores of Indiana State. So, Dan, thanks. We will see you on Saturday, I hope, and we will get together again and do this next week. All right?
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
All right. There you go, Dan Persa, Appreciate the time from Jeff Budzine this morning. Thanks to Super Joe Romano. Thanks to Bob Fukuda Engineering. I'm Dave Bennett. This is Collegiately Speaking. Thanks for being with us, everybody. We'll talk to you next week.